This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am Corey Fleck, your host for the first hour. I want to first and foremost thank everybody for tuning in this weekend and thank everybody for the emails and the comments over the week on all those daily editorials. Remember, we post stuff on an everyday basis, so visit www.kereport.com to stay up to date with what all of our commentators are saying. I'm happy to report that I am kicking off this show with Axel Merck, president of Merck Investments. And Axel, let's start off with the bond market, because the bond market has been screaming higher. We're seeing yields fall across the board in the U.S. and, quite frankly, around the world. Now we have the bond market pricing in a rate cut by the end of the year. I believe it's about an 84% chance as we are recording this that the bond market's saying we're going to get a rate cut. Last time you and I chatted, we both thought, you know what, a rate hike would not be out of the question. That has now seems to have been pushed way back. What do you think? What are some of your updated comments on what the bond market is telling us?
Exactly. So I'm always in the camp trying to figure out what could possibly be wrong here and where's the complacency. And I've been arguing that the markets are too complacent about lurking inflation. And actually, I still think the market is too complacent about it. But the market, if anything, has gotten all the more complacent about it, mostly because obviously the trade tensions have taken down growth prospects. But what hasn't really changed all that much are the wage pressures, that the labor market continues to be tight. And the question is, can we pull in more people from the sidelines? Nobody's talking about that anymore. And so I had cautioned that we might be in a scenario where the economy may be slowing down and inflation is picking up. The Fed itself admits or states that recent low inflation readings are temporary. We've kind of had a perfect headwind to inflation based on how the government measures inflation, and that's going to turn into a tailwind. And so the glass is going to be, quote-unquote, half full with regard to inflation later this year. And obviously, if we have an overwhelming downdraft in economic activity, yep, the Fed may indeed cut rates. I am still a lone voice out there that said that may not happen. Now, talking about rate hike, that's a bit ambitious given what's priced into the market right now. But we've had a dramatic repricing in the bond market. And what's interesting is that not all the markets have participated. Usually when yields slow down in the U.S., especially fell out the yield curve, that would cause the dollar to fall. That hasn't happened. It would cause gold to rise. That, I mean, it's up a tad as we speak here. But we haven't really had any breakouts on that front. And so I think part of the reason may be is because the world may be different if we get another tweet from our tweeter in chief. I mean, that could change everything, of course, unless we've caused so much damage, I would say, on the trade issue that that the economy is going to go down anyway. But none of this is set in stone, since I somehow cynically say that it may well change with another tweet coming out.
Yeah, that's unfortunately what the markets are handcuffed by, is whatever is tweeted out by President Trump, especially when it involves the ongoing trade war between the U.S. and China. We will get into that in a little bit, but just another comment on the bond market. How much lower do you think or expect yields could go with the Fed more or less ignoring it because of the fact that they think inflation could be picking up and they're not too worried about some of the recent lower inflation data?
Well, as I haven't told you, but my crystal ball isn't exactly working today. We don't have a crystal ball, right? The one thing I do like to make a comment on, though, in this context is the reasons why the bond market is rallying are not related to monetary policy, right? The Fed cannot fix trade. That's a political thing, a fiscal thing. And in my opinion, not that it really matters, the Fed shouldn't try to fix trade with interest rates. I mean, the one thing that's gotten lost since the financial crisis is what is the role of the Federal Reserve? Now, we all have our own view of whether they do too much or too little, but it is not the Fed's role to fix trade policy, right? And so their proper role, in my view, and due respect, is that they stay on the sidelines of this. Let the big boys fight it out. Now, obviously, they have a bazooka and they can shoot across the bow or they can do this or that, but they should not get involved in that. And so the lower yields, the way you can think about the 10-year yield is what are the economic opportunities over a 10-year horizon? And in Europe, those are negative, right? They're negative yields. And in the U.S., they have come down. When the tax reform or the tax changes were under consideration, whenever the odds of passing the tax reform were higher under President Trump, and the longer-term yields were rising because the economic opportunity was increasing based on what the bond market assessed. And now with the trade tensions rising, they're coming down. Now, where it's going to head is anybody's guess, because if we go back to 1930 scenario where you just have an escalating trade war, these things can come much, much lower. If indeed you suddenly have an agreement, well, they could rise again. And to stay on the political side here just for a tad, the way we got into this latest round was that an agreement was very near with the Chinese, and indeed President Trump was criticized of being too lenient. Well, he doesn't want to take such criticism, and the election is still about 18 months away. And so wouldn't it be great to have a quote-unquote solution going into this election? And in order to have a solution going into the election, you first have to have a crisis. And I'm being very cynical here, but I do think that may be a consideration. Now, obviously, the other part of that is, and the Chinese are increasingly thinking, maybe the U.S. doesn't just want a quote-unquote fair trade deal, but they want to contain China. If that is the case, well, then the gloves come off, and we're going to see an escalation of this, because nobody wants to be contained, even if from our perspective, we think maybe it may be appropriate.
Yeah, in the last 3 weeks, though, these trade negotiations seem to have gone in the opposite direction from getting any sort of a deal done. And it almost seems like we might see these two countries dig their heels in almost in a war of attrition to see who can manage to outlast the other. Outside of just the political sphere, do you see the U.S. being able to almost withstand this slightly better economic data than it seems like the rest of the world has been producing?
Well, we tend to forget, because there's so much emphasis on trade, that the U.S. isn't actually as trade-dependent as most other countries. We all know Germany is an exporting nation. The Swedes even more so. The Japanese are. The Chinese quite a bit as well. And the Chinese could spur domestic consumption quite a bit, so they have some tools there. But in the U.S., it's a domestic consumer-oriented economy. So the folks who suffer are really the corporations with the overseas sales. Now, obviously, there's ripple effects, because if they can't do as much business overseas, they might hire fewer people domestically. But the U.S. consumer has much less leverage they used to have, is much sounder, wages are rising, and so we can have these short-term, quote-unquote, shocks when people don't invest because of uncertainty over policy. But what seems to be happening is that companies are re-engineering where they procure products from. So Mexico, for example, is a beneficiary of all this, because they believe that the new agreement with Mexico is going to come into force, and that it may be more predictable what sort of environment there's going to be with Mexico than with China. And so what the net impact is on the U.S. economy, even if it's a great one, remains to be seen. Now, all that said, if history is any guide, when China sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. I know we used to say that the other way around with the U.S., but the Chinese economy is very important to the global economy. So if the Chinese were somehow to fall off a cliff, it would have a very substantial impact on the U.S. economy as well. But at this stage, there are various headwinds out there. They are of concern, and they may well escalate. But let's not forget that there's the other side of the equation, that inflation does pick up. Don't expect the Fed necessarily to come to the rescue.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but everybody, Axel and I do continue this conversation, so please come visit our website, kereport.com, and listen to the full unedited version posted in segment one of the weekend show. Everyone stick around. I am going to be right back with Mark Chandler.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog that I visit on a daily basis. And Mark, I want to follow up on more or less what my conversation was last segment. However, last segment we recorded on Thursday, and we are recording this on Friday. And anyone who follows the markets, or quite frankly, even politics, knows that on Thursday night, Trump came out and went after Mexico. 5% tariffs starting on June 10th, I believe. This caused a lot of, well, negative moves for risk-on assets and money to further flow into treasuries and gold. What's your thought, though, of Trump now going after Mexico and turning that other trade deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico really on its head?
Yeah, I was surprised because it was just like within hours of the president's tweet, the legislative process to get the bill formally introduced to Congress, so ideally they'd be able to vote on it before the end of the summer, that had just begun. Very preliminary steps, but it had begun. And then with these tweets, I think that this has... I was never a big believer that it was going to be that the new trade agreement was going to get approved, but the odds had increased, it seemed, as Trump had turned his attentions towards China, and when that tariff truce ended, it seemed like that's when the U.S. lifted the steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada and Mexico. And so now I think that this is it just exposes the whole system now to the failure of the NAFTA to get passed. So Trump's tweets now, I think, mean that the odds of NAFTA getting passed now, I thought were about 20%, but then after the U.S. lifted the tariff, I thought maybe it moved up to 50-60%. But after what these latest tariffs on Mexico, I'm back at like 20%.
You're not alone with now the markets also seeing that it almost seems like no trade deals are going to get done, which is really throwing the global economy in turmoil, I think. A whole lot of question marks as to, is trade just going to stop for most part between the countries? One other thing that I've been thinking about a lot and people have been consistently talking about a lot is with more of these tariffs and tighter trade now between the countries, do you think that we're going to start to see prices uptick and inflation take hold?
Yeah, that is a danger. And right, because you tariffs, as you know, really are taxes on consumers. That's how we think of tax on imports. Who buys imports? The consumers, businesses. And so we would expect that higher taxes. But I think that's a mistake to think of this as inflationary, because higher taxes, even though prices look like they're going higher, taxes we know really are like deflationary. They slow things down. And so I think we would look past the initial price increases. And here's another thing to keep in mind, is that the sector of the economy that's less exposed to trade are services. And in the high-income countries, like the U.S. and Canada, households spend a lot more money on services than they do for goods. And goods have actually, goods prices, you think about like what people, the kind of goods, refrigerators, stoves, tables, computers, cell phones, these prices are generally weak, soft, that is to say deflationary, if not disinflationary. So I don't think that we get the inflation problem, but I think that what the market's telling us is that this is going to be a growth problem. How did the world economy grow? Why did we embrace free trade? What was the idea behind it? Well, it was partly that it would promote better growth, stronger growth. It wasn't going to be equally distributed, but it would be stronger growth for everybody. And I think we could show this, that the more integrated countries tend to grow faster than the less integrated countries. But I think we have to relearn this lesson. So I do think that the risk is economic nationalism still is like on the upswing, it's still in ascendancy.
So, Mark, do you think that a lot of what Trump is doing here is more political than anything? Because he has been hanging his hat on a stronger U.S. market, even stronger U.S. economic data. But the more he tweets, the more he throws these trade deals up in the air, the worse the markets are doing.
Yeah, I sort of think of what happened last year, right? U.S. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin comes back with a deal that the Chinese and him agreed to. Trump rejects it. And we begin a series of tariffs. They reach a truce last December. And as the tariffs got worse, of course, they had the stock market slide in Q4. And then we had the rally as they reached an agreement in December. It was like, these boys punched a hole in the one of these like Dutch dams, and they boys put their fingers in the dike as in December by reaching a tariff truce. And then they pulled their fingers out of it. And so we get the consequences, raises questions about, like, what does it mean to be in a trade agreement with the U.S. if we put on tariffs on Mexico like this? And a couple weeks before, we put on some tariffs on Mexico's tomatoes, of all things. And so I think we accused Mexico of dumping their tomatoes in the U.S. And so what does this mean for other countries entering trade agreements with the U.S. if the U.S. could do this? And constitutionally in the U.S., it's going to be a bit of a challenge because President Trump is using emergency powers and sets a dangerous precedent to how we define emergencies. But, of course, our executive has to have a lot of discretion what an emergency is.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What do you think about the currency moves? We were seeing the U.S. dollar continue its uptrend, but on Friday, very much getting beat down on the back of what seems like these tariff issues. In the past, when we've seen tariffs put in place and worries come into the market and global economy, money has flown into the U.S. dollar. Do you think just on Friday, it's enough to say that maybe that is starting to shift?
Well, you know, we are trying to cover the bottom here, like the euro around 111. There's a lot of optionality around there as well that's giving it some support here. We're also at the end of the month. But I do think that there is a sense that the things are going to get worse. That is that we're not at the end of the interest rate move yet. It doesn't feel like it. We got some still the real impact of the tariffs. We haven't seen them yet. Remember, the Chinese counter tariffs only go into effect on the 1st of June. And so all the slowdown that's happening, when I say slowdown, here's what it looks like. U.S. economy grew 3.1% in Q1. Now the Atlanta Fed and the New York Fed have forecast roughly 1.3 to 1.5% growth. That's what their tracking models are showing for Q2. So the U.S. economy was slowing down even before these tariffs hit. And same thing with the Chinese economy. We had the weaker than expected PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index from China, also just like within hours of President Trump's tweets about the Mexican tariff. And so that's also like adds to the pressure. Economy slowing down. Bond yields are already falling. Then you get these tariff, escalation tariff tensions, and then the new ones with Mexico. And it's just adding to the risk-off sentiment. And so the S&Ps, you know, we made the high in late April. We've been working our way lower, and it was sort of like one of these things, you know, the old adage about sell in May and go away. Well, this has just added to this pressure. And I'm still looking at 2,700, 2,720 in the S&P as a reasonable near-term target.
Yeah, it really is. Well, Mark, we're going to wrap it up there. Great having you on the show. Thanks for chatting, and thanks for recapping on Friday what we just saw on Thursday night, because that really, again, threw a wrinkle in the markets and in all the trade talks. Mark, have a great rest of your weekend, my friend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Shot fired, second floor.
Another shooting, this time in Virginia Beach.
People are in shock after this latest mass killing. At least 12 people are dead.
There's no way to describe an incident such as this. No chief of police anywhere in the country, no mayor, no city manager, no assistant city manager, no fire chief, no rescue chief ever wants to have to stand up and give information such as this.
That's Police Chief James Severa. It happened in the city's municipal center.
The folks who work in that building, their lives have changed.
Workers at the complex heard the gunfire and took cover.
My boss basically was like, this is not a drill. Get down. Call 911. There was probably about 20 of us in an office crammed in. We barricaded the door.
The shooter has been identified as Dwayne Craddock. He was a longtime city employee. Police shot and killed him during the exchange. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment and in the following segment, we're going to get a little bit more focused on the resource sector. Next segment, we're going to be talking energy. This segment, we are going to be talking more junior resource stocks with a good friend, Giant Bhandari. And Giant, I want to start with a recent couple site visits you were on. One to Novo, one to Irving. Both of these companies, I know our audience knows very well. Let's start with the Novo site visit. Can you give us a little recap of what you saw and what went down?
Thanks for having me, Corey. I was in Australia visiting a GINA project of Novo Resources, and with me were about four or five other people. What they are doing at Agena is that they are refurbishing their bulk trial mining plant, and my understanding is that this plant will be ready to start bulk mining in about a month's time. This will be a 100-ton per day operation, and what these people intend to do is that within the mining permitted area, they want to do bulk mining so that they can have an understanding of what is in the ground there. And this permit, I think, applies to about 6 square kilometers. And then the company has another 100 or more square kilometer of area under their control on which they can do similar kind of bulk trial. The next 1 year, in my view, will be extremely exciting for Novo Resources, and it is trading at less than $2. At $2, what you have is about $50 million in cash. You have a fully permitted Beaton's Creek project, and you have this all-new West Pilbara conglomerate area of Novo Resources. Now, at Beaton's Creek, they have already received the mining permit, which means to me that Australia is now accepting giving permit for conglomerate deposit, which might actually make it much easier for Novo to get permits for the larger Agena area. My view is that at the current share price of $2 or less than $2, Novo provides me an extremely good downside support with a very exciting possibility of an upside. That is what I gained from my site visit, and I have accumulated more of Novo in the last couple of weeks.
All right, Giant, thank you for, in full disclosure, sharing that you are a shareholder and have been accumulating. I, too, am a shareholder of Novo. I also chatted with Quentin earlier in the week, released on Thursday on our website, a general update from Beaton's Creek, Egina, and the Karratha Gold Project. I just want one more comment from you, though, regarding this whole move into test mining. That really is the focus of the company, especially at the Karratha Gold Project, as well as at Egina. Beaton's Creek is a bit different, and they could be going into mining there, but you can find out more about that. I talked with Quentin about that. What do you think about the whole strategy of going into test mining to prove out how economical these projects could be?
Corey, this is not a conventional project. So this is a kind of project where people who have a conventional 43101 kind of mindset will not be interested in. This is a very different project, and they have to assess the value of the project very, very differently from how we assess values of projects elsewhere. The only way out for them is to actually do bulk trial mining to assess an inferred resource for this project. I think this is the only way. And I am fairly confident about the capabilities of the management team, which comprises of about 30 people in Australia. And of course, extremely confident about the value that Quinton is adding to the project. So I guess they have taken the right approach, and we will see some interesting results over the next 1 year.
Yeah, that's really what we're waiting for now, is the move continuing to go into this test mining at Egina, which it seems like that'll happen there first, but it will still take time, and this is just such a different project that it's taken them a fair bit of time just to totally understand how they have to explore it. Let's now move over to Irving. You were recently in Japan, and even this month, Irving came out with some high-grade gold and silver results from that Omu project, the Omu Center project. This stock has been bucking the trend, consistently moving higher. What was your takeaway from the site visit there?
This was my second site visit to Irving Resources in the last 2 years, and I continue to be extremely optimistic about what is happening with Irving Resources. Now, I own a lot of Irving Resources. I'm not currently a buyer, and I'm hoping that it falls a bit so that I can accumulate more of Irving Resources. Now, there might not be a lot of short-term upside in Irving Resources, but if I had to buy a company with a 10-bagger upside, Irving might be that company.
Even after this run it's been on?
Absolutely. But again, I'm not a buyer at the current share price just because it has run up so much, and I'm too cheap to buy anything that has run up so much. But what you see at Irving Resources, Corey, is very high-grade gold grab samples across the project. At Hokuri, which is the project where they have done a lot of grab sampling at, they have multi-ounce rock samples. At the Sinter project, where they are currently drilling, they haven't really hit the vein system, I think, yet. But what they have hit is 0.3 meters of 118 grams per ton. Now, I don't think this width and grade really, for now, tells you much about what is in that project, but they have a lot of drilling happening at that project right now, and we will know better over the next few months. But remember, these are three different areas of the same project. Omui mine, where they will start doing trial mining, hopefully next month. The Sinter project, where they are drilling for now and looking for the real vein kind of system. And Hokuri mine, where they will hopefully start drilling later this year. So there are three possibilities of massive, of hitting something really interesting at all these three projects. And there is clearly a possibility that all these three projects actually connect with each other, which might point you to a massive system at this project, and that is where the real upside of Erving Resources is. But this will take about 6 months or 1 year before you will start getting a better understanding of what is in their project. So I am not going to chase just because I don't chase something that has gone up so much. I own a huge, large number of Erving Resources, and I will buy more if it falls a bit from the current share price.
Now, when it comes to future drill results, you even mentioned these last drill results, it was very high grade, but a very narrow width. What are you going to be looking for when we do see another round of drill results?
I think what we really, from what I understand, and I'm not a geologist, what I understand is that we are looking for a vein system. This width and grade could have been extremely good were it in a vein system in silica, which is, from what I understand, not really the case in the current hit. So this is a sniff. It tells you that there's gold in the ground there. What they are looking for is the feeder zone, the zone which contains at a higher depth, consistently higher grade and good widths.
All right, Giant, we're going to wrap it up there. I always do appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts on some of the companies that you are watching. If anyone wants Giant and I to look into any in particular companies, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Joseph Schatzer talking oil. Thanks, Giant.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, we are talking oil and the general energy sector with Joseph Schatcher. He is the founder and editor of the Schatcher Energy Report. And Joseph, you and I have been talking on almost a monthly basis now. And I know about 2 months ago, you were waiting for this pullback in the overall oil sector to occur. It's finally starting to, I think, pick up a little bit of steam, especially after last week. And even this week, we are, I think, getting a few more people paying attention to builds in inventory and some of those geopolitical issues or fears that were keeping the sector, general oil price, elevated. They are starting to dissipate. Can you take us through that call that you were making a couple months ago, and now it really seems to be taking hold? Why is that?
Yeah, a couple of months ago, going into March and April, when price of oil was going through 60 and rallied all into the third week of April at 66.60, the market was focused then on the May start of the U.S. sanctions against Iran and the concern of if the Iranian sanctions took hold and China and India did not have the ability to buy oil from them, that there would be a shortage of oil, and that with OPEC holding at 30 million, down about 2 million from where they were, last year, that there would be a shortage of oil and that the industry would see even higher prices, and you had some fearless forecasters running around with $75 and $80 oil. What I was looking at in March, April was the starting of the build in inventories. And we had weeks that we saw inventory builds of 5 million. We even had 1 week of a 9 million build. And so the inventories were building like they normally do during the shoulder season, and the market was ignoring them into the third week of April. Last week, we had one day where the EIA report came out on Wednesday, and the petroleum balance sheet went up by 4.7 million barrels. That was expected to be a decline of 1.4, and that spooked the markets. And so the U.S. commercial stocks now are about 38 million barrels above a year ago, 8.8%. The other number that was quite something was the total stocks, which excluding the SPR, because it was growth in the motor gasoline component and in the propane component, was up by 16.8 million.
So the U.S. stocks in total are up 95 million from a year ago. So we've got massive build in inventory, and we still have another 5 weeks before the summer driving season hits, when we'll probably start to see a significant decline in those inventories. So I expect that we've gone from 66.60 down to the 57.58 level. I think we're going to go down maybe to the low 50s. And at the same time, if we see a significant market weakness, which we are seeing now, for example, today we're potentially going to bust 25,000 on Wednesday, we're going to probably see, another, couple thousand point weakness in the Dow because of earnings disappointment, the Mueller thing that's coming out, Mueller investigation, where the House is going to get more aggressive against the president. And if we have a bad environment for general stocks, and at the same time you have an inventory build in energy, we could see low 50s for the price of oil. The point I want to make, though, is that this is going to be a table-pounding buying opportunity. In November, December, when you and I were talking, I was saying that the price of 42 is unrealistic, buy, buy, buy. The S&P TSX Energy Index went up 35% from the low in December to the high in April. The price of WTI went up from 42 to 66.60, up 57%. And some of the names that we talked about, as you know, I've been liking the dividend plays. So an example like Surge, which is yielding about 7.5%, the stock went from $1.19 to $1.64, up 38% without the dividend. Vermilion, which is one of the biggest dividend players in Canada, the stock went from under 26, 25.73 to 36.59, up 42%. Think about that, 42% in 4 months, plus the dividend that you got. And the last one, Whitecap, which is another one of my favorites, went from 369 to 595 Canadian, up 61%, plus a nice 7% dividend yield. So what I'm recommending people do is wait for this decline to complete in June, July, and then when you see a significant oversold condition, and the thing to watch there is the bullish percentage energy index from the S&P, which you can pull out. It's from the different services that provide the bullish percentage data. And if it gets down below 10% again, and it's 40% down now versus 70%, and it was down at 3% and 4% in late November, December of 2018, that'll give you another signal that it's time to be buying again. There's tremendous value out there, but the stocks can get cheaper if we pull another $5 or $6 off the price of oil. But I would recommend that people hold some cash and be ready to buy, because these stocks are very cheap. And if we're right, and I think we'll see $70 WTI in the fourth quarter, and I think in 2020 we will probably be $75 or $80 WTI, because we're not replacing our production. The Permian new production will come on at the end of this year. If OPEC continues to be rational in terms of their production, if Iran still has problems, and only sells to Russia, we're going to have tightening supplies, and we could probably see north of 75, even 80, sometime during 2020, which means these stocks could, there could be many stocks that could double or triple over the next 18 months.
Okay, so you are still, I would say, medium-term bullish, but short-term still thinking that this pullback could happen. I assume that also comes a lot from this move that we've seen in a lot of the stocks. A lot of the good stocks are still very sold off. They've very much overperformed to the downside here on this pullback. Is that another main consideration that you think there could be more downside?
Yeah, and if we look at some of the biggest names that are out there that that people talk about, let's take Canadian Natural Resources, which is one of the biggest companies in Canada. The stock had a very good run from December. It was trading around $30, and it went up to 42.5. That's a powerful, beautiful win, over 30%. Well, it's gone down from 42.5 down to 35 level. So we've had a 20% decline almost. Just from that high in the third week of April. So could the stock go down, to the low 30s and maybe break 30? It's possible. So I would, from the largest cap companies to the intermediate companies to the dividend model companies, if we are going to come down another 10% on the price of oil, you'll probably see a 10% down on the index, and that would mean probably a 10% or more, depending upon the beta of the individual security and the debt position, the balance sheets, those with more debt will probably go down more than those which have better balance sheets. And as we've seen in previous declines, markets start worrying about bank, you know, as the price of oil goes down, your cash flow goes down and your ability to service the debt goes down. And that makes participants in the market dump the high debt laden companies more so than those that have strong balance sheets.
Rightfully so. You can't blame investors for bailing on those companies with large amounts of debt in especially a falling market. Let's also talk about some of the political, geopolitical issues. The first dealing with Iran and the sanctions that the U.S. put back on. And there's a lot going on here. This has become less of a concern. Can you share why?
Well, the Iran sanctions, you know, affect really 1 million barrels a day of production that go to Iran and that go from Iran to countries like China and India, with OPEC making sure that there is enough supply to cover off any of the Iran sanctions. Saudi Arabia, for example, has offered to sell more. But China's now worried about the trade war with the United States. The economy there is slowing. They had big inventories that they built up in crude, and they're now realizing that they've got maybe too much. And you look at copper as another example. You know, they probably bought a lot of copper, and now they're not, the economy's slowing down. And, you know, Dr. Copper is trading at $2.70 a pound U.S., so it's come down quite a bit, too. So the concern that China's not going to have enough oil or India's not going to have enough oil has abated. And remember, in the fourth quarter of 2019, the Permian Basin has two new pipelines coming on that bring on 2 million barrels of light oil.
Great recap, as always, Joseph. I appreciate the updates on that energy sector. You're sticking to your guns, and we are seeing that pullback happen. Now it's about, as you said, keep that powder dry, keep the money ready to inject when that bottom does hit. And it also sounds like you're watching those U.S. markets very closely for that bottom. Everybody, thank you for tuning into the first hour of the weekend edition. Please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com, and please keep on visiting our website on a daily basis for all the market updates and company updates that I record on a daily basis. Joseph, everybody have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.